Hello, I am L. Barbara. Welcome to the Black Trans Women audio project brought to you by Aztec Cooper Concordia and Transistor Radio. The Black Trans Women audio project is a four-part monthly series on CKUT 90.3 FM, and this is like the fourth part of the installment, the fourth and final episode of this series, and I'm glad to come through here, having been a co-producer on the show, but coming today as your host. And I have one guest today, who happens to be my daughter. Her name is Nevada. How are you, Nevada?
I'm feeling good. Like, we had this little alert and some altercation, but it's been a pretty good day. I'm feeling all right.
You're talking about the COVID alert.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah. There's been lots going on in the last few days, I have to say, you guys. And so this is something that was hardly planned. We kind of decided what topic to touch on just a few minutes ago. Literally, you're talking about, the COVID alert, and so we were supposed to have more guests on. And a lot of things sort of like led to this being the episode that it's going to be. But I'm confident that we'll make something great out of it, or at least something good. Thanks for tuning in. The episode today, like the starting point, was like to talk about men. So far, like we've had like in our three episodes, the first episode of the series was sort of like presented itself as a how-to guide on, tapping, like a how to guide on in order for people to tap into their femininity as Black and Arab
AMAPs.
AMABs, like trans femme AMABs. So that was the first episode. The second one was on experiences relating to migration as Black African trans women. And the third episode touched on mental health. And so we realized, I mean, we wanted to be a bit lighter. We don't know how light this episode is going to be. But we wanted, I know that like you wanted to talk about men. I've had my share of like recent experiences, being that like she's got a man now.
Yes.
And so, we kind of wanted to use that as a starting point, but also like go in as many directions as we want, because we're having a one-on-one conversation. You're part of the House of Barbara. You are my daughter.
Yes.
And we thought that, it could even like turn into like a sort of like, one-on-one conversation where you ask me advice not just on men and dating, but on all sorts of aspects touching on, being a trans feminine person, being a Black trans feminine
Yeah, and
person.
also recently starting my transition, pretty recent, this Friday.
Yeah, so you're talking about your medical
Yeah.
transition.
Yeah.
Congrats on that again. And so, I kind of want to leave it up to you. This is not planned, really. This is hardly planned. I want to leave it up to you, Nevada, and let you ask whatever questions that you may have. So, go ahead. What do you want to know?
I mean, there's so much to know. Let's start. I feel like I want to start with men. What, from your experience, what do you feel like I should expect coming in the future? From,
From men?
yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, that's a very broad question. It depends like what your intentions are.
Well, if I want to. What if I want to start dating and really getting myself in a couple? How are men gonna see me now that I'm finally transitioning?
Yeah, well, I mean, based on my experience, I sort of like went into transitioning kind of like on, well, not quite a whim. I'd been contemplating it for like weeks or months, and then I finally decided to do it. One thing that I hadn't considered is that I would like navigate the world differently or be perceived differently in my body, like because of like my sort of like my changing gender expression. So it was like quite special to notice how like I was previously like invisible to a certain segment of the population, and all of a sudden people started like looking at me, or it was like different people looking at me. And of course, like it does take some adjustment to like you don't you're very young, you're 19, so you don't have a lot of dating experience. Like my identity was like rooted in the sort of like gay queerness. And
I think
so
most of us start there.
yeah, most of us start there, but like in relation to like dating, that's what I was used to. And so like having like these men or these like women, if they're lesbians, like look at me and appreciate the effort that I was putting into like expressing myself in a more like clearly feminine way, made for like a bit of a culture shock. But as far as like expectations in dating, I don't know. Like I think it's it's I think it's you're better, well, I'd say like it's you're better off probably not having expectations that are too high if what you're interested is dating men who don't identify as gay. Because I understand that like dating gay men, I mean, for a lot of trans women, like it makes them feel as if like their like feminine identity was being negated.
Honestly, like in my part, it's not a problem. I'm mostly like, truth be told, I think I'm most attracted to, bisexual men, because I feel like, because they jump the border of like the spectrum, I feel like it's better because they can. Honestly, I don't completely identify as a trans woman, so because I'm more on the binary non-binary side, I feel like being with them, it would make me feel more comfortable because they could be used to my feminine side and to my, a little bit manhood, like the little speck that is still there. Like they could have this, pre-notion that is it exists. Like I'm not, this kind of person who is only going after straight men, heterosexual men is my only goal. No, so I'm keeping my eyes pretty open and not my, how can I say that? My expectation too high.
I mean, the reason, like, I think it's good to have standards, but like standards are not the same as expectations. And the problem with expectations is that men in the context of like dating as it relates to like sexuality, gender identity, especially if they haven't like explored the possibility of them perhaps being like pansexual or bisexual, like can be very fragile. And having expectations on people that you can't control can lead like into like a place that is like very hurtful. And so this is why I'm saying that it's important to simultaneously have like your standards, but like not like kind of like expectations that aren't too high. I think it's interesting what you just said about like bisexual men, because like what I take from what you said is that like bisexual men have already sort of because they've they're simultaneously attracted to femininity, but also have had experiences with men, they don't have to wrestle with the idea of like the sort of like you know, coming out or like acceptance
exactly.
that is, you know, mostly in relation to like being gay or like perceived mm-hmm. as gay,
exactly.
which, you know, a lot of men, non-gay men can be fearful of.
Mm-hmm. Also, like they can be used to, you know, for example, if I'm pre-op, they're not scared of what I have in between my legs, and that's totally okay.
Well, yeah, that's another point. I mean, there is, like, quite a spectrum. I mean, we categorize sexualities because
mm-hmm.
it's just easier for, like, on a societal level, I think it makes everything easier because, like, people can understand where you stand by, like, when you frame yourself as, like, being part of, like, one gender category, one sexual category. And so, but I think that there's, you know, there's quite a wide spectrum of attractions and, you know, pet peeves and, like, and, you know, yeah, like, in relation to sexuality. But it's true that, you know, again, like, bisexual men or pansexual men, are likely to have you know, it's very clear in their head if you're non-op or pre-op, mm-hmm. you
it's
know
it's definitely less narrow
well
their
it's,
view.
There's a sort of like expectation of like you having, you know, a certain body that a person who is you know, a man who is straight identified mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily have. But again, it also hinges on like your not just your presentation but also how they perceive you
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I've been in experiences where like I go to the club and like I, you know, have a guy like, you know, come up to me, try to like flirt with me
mm-hmm.
But he might not know right away. He'll pick up, you know, on my transness,
yeah, some
at,
signs.
You know, at some point, but like you know, he might not be like aware of it, like going into it, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, factors where there'd be like loud music, you know, dim lights or whatever. And so like, they don't like, they can't necessarily always tell.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
even if
yeah.
they can tell, you know, be based on, if someone is not used to dealing with like trans women, based on my appearance, they might make certain assumptions as to like what my body is like. And so there's this assumption that like, oh, she looks like, I didn't know that she was a trans woman, and so I assume that she has a vagina
mm-hmm.
but that might not be the case because trans women have like, you know, a number of options as far as like, you know, what their downstairs
exactly.
area is.
Yeah, because if we take in consideration, some of us are AMABs, so we have a downstairs different, and the clubs, definitely, you know, this, the atmosphere that it creates, it's kind of, you know, a dim light, as you said, it's creating this feeling of, how can I say that, this feeling of you never know what you're going to get,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're going to places like that. So, if I'm taking your advice, definitely, you know, I'm keeping my eyes out for my bisexual and pansexual king. That's what I'm,
uh-huh.
that's what I'm keeping out of this conversation. But my expectation also, I'm keeping them not too high, but also I'm keeping my standards. Like if there's some pet peeves that I cannot take, I'm not gonna let a man walk on me because like, I'm too scared of not finding anyone else. Like, I'd rather be alone and be satisfied with myself.
I think that it's a good way to look at it. Like, in the first few years of my transition,
yeah,
I was hardly active as far as, like, dating was concerned. I was,
mm-hmm.
like, tempted to be, like, reeled into, like, situations. But, like, it always remained fairly, like, a superficial,
yeah.
like, very surface level, because I didn't want my transition, I sort of, like, innately or subconsciously didn't want to, my transition to intersect with, you know, people's, like, perception of me, or I didn't want my transition to be framed around, you know, my sex life. And so, okay, you know, yeah. for, like, I didn't, or romantic life. And mm-hmm. so I didn't really date, and I really focused on...
Did you want it to be more focused on, like, your art? Because I see that you're a very artsy person, you have a lot going on with your music, congrats.
Well, I mean, I don't have so much going on I didn't have so much going on with music, like, transitioning. I was, like, really focusing on my transition, but what I wanted to say is that my focus was to transition in a way that would make me feel superficially, that would make me feel personally happy. And so I, of course, like, validation from men, or like validation from, like, femme attracted people,
yeah.
Played into my feeling, my euphoria, and, like, self-satisfaction.
Yes.
But, you know, it, that was that I didn't feel the absolute need to date. Yeah. And if anything, I was a bit scared because it was new for me. And so I really focused on myself for the first few years, and then started to date. But people have, like, different ways of approaching it.
And it's totally fine, honestly. If you want to take your time, take your time. There's no rush. Just my advice personally would be, start thinking about what would make you happy first. Because honestly, if there's no one around you that can satisfy you, you have to be your own self-satisfactory factory, if that makes uh-huh. sense. Like, you have to be the one that generates the most happiness out of yourself. Because who are you sleeping with at night, every night? Isn't it you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You're the one sleeping with yourself. You're the one constantly, like, having yourself to carry each day. So I think focusing on yourself before men would be the best option.
It would most certainly be the best option. And, yeah, you'll see how things go. Like, you're still, you know, you're starting this process, and, you know, we'll, like, you know, for sure grow from it by virtue of, like, just, like, simply aging, but also transitioning while you're doing it. So, yeah, like, just, you know, do what makes you feel happy. I would say that the first 2 years of my transition was, like, so much fun. You know, you got a sense of, like, well, just a sense of excitement of, like, you know, experiencing something that's, like, totally new. Mm-hmm. And so this is why, I mean, I wasn't totally oblivious to, like, the male gaze or, like, to the lesbian gaze. Like, yeah. it made for, like, a more holistic experience, but it wasn't just that. It was also about me just, like, you know, getting on Snap, like, you know, posting that shit, like, you know, getting likes, and enjoying it. And, like, you touched on, like, you know, on art earlier. And yeah. so, you know, like, I deem my transition to have been very artful. Like, mm-hmm. I really wanted to put, I put a lot of love and, like, meticulousness and, like, artfulness into my transition, because I ideated myself a certain way.
Yeah.
And
so, while we're being here, would you have any advice for me? Because I'm also an artist. Do you have any advice for some of our listeners that are also artists, into what can they do to, you know, expand their art and, you know, grow out of themselves?
Well, I mean, expand how? Like, what kind of expansion?
Expand in a way of, like, finding something that'll make them push themselves, like, push their limits, like, something that'll make them be happy of what they're doing. Like, do you have any advice on that?
Well, I think that, you know, I know that, like, at a certain age, well, I mean, around your age, like, mm-hmm. you're pressured by, you know, this ageist society to, like, think of
success.
Think of success, like being, like, successful as an mm-hmm. artist is, like, you know, having an expiry date. And so, you know, I talked to my cousin, like, my 15-year-old cousin, who's like, oh, well, you know, I've got to make it by, like, 20, otherwise, like, my career's over. And so, like, there's this, like, constant, you know, you know, stress around
being pushed constantly.
Yeah, or abiding by like rules, you know, that define success, in a way that is like unhealthy, because you can define your success however you want. And often, like, your trajectory isn't exactly what you wanted it to be in the first place. Mm-hmm. You might end up, you know, getting the same results as far as you know, feeling accomplished and, like, happy is concerned, but, mm-hmm. like, things don't exactly turn out how you planned. And so I think it's good to trust the process and make sure that every step of the way you're happy with, what you do, you don't like compromise too much, because compromise begets, you know, frustration.
Yes, often. A lot of frustration.
You know, especially if, like, you know, that hinges on, you know, the sort of like promise of success. Like, you tell yourself that, oh, if I compromise, like, I might be more successful, but it might not be the case either. Exactly. So you want to make sure that, like, you know, your process is one that is happy and that is authentic to who you are. And you really have to stand and sit or live out your own truth. Like, you have to be true to who you are at a given moment.
Yeah, I've heard people say that sometimes the route is better than the destination. It's better to enjoy the process of getting there than the destination itself.
Exactly. Again, like, there's always nuances, and so mm-hmm. I was like establishing a nuance between like standards and expectations, mm-hmm. and so, you know, I'm gonna say about this that, you know, it's good to have goals. You know, it's good for you to set, you know, goals, because, you know, that gives you a direction, but not focus all of your time on, you know, the prize itself, because the prize might not turn out to be exactly what you thought that it was going to be.
Yeah, it might not be as worth it as all the time you took to really get that prize, as you said. Like, sometimes you're gonna look back at everything that you did in the past, and you're gonna be like, oh wow, so I've literally lost, because it's gonna feel like a loss. All those times, all that time, all those hours that you didn't sleep, all that time that you didn't eat or didn't, you know, take care of yourself to just push your art. So, like, the price, as you just said, might not be that worth it. So it's better to enjoy the ride and, like, buckle up and see that, you know, it's a new adventure. Put your 2 feet in it and, like, just roll with the flow.
Exactly. Like, you really have to, like, enjoy, as you just put it, the process, while, you know, making sacrifices.
Exactly.
And so, like, in relation to, like, we were talking about men earlier, we're talking about, like,
art development.
Your development as an artist, mm-hmm. their personal development, but, like, also, like, your art, your medical transition. And so, also, like, you just started HRT, and, you know, I've spoken to a number of people, like, being an intervention, a part-time intervention worker for Aztec. Mm-hmm. Like, I've spoken to a number of, you know, trans women who would, like, rely on, you know, like, on YouTubers to sort of, like, you know, set, you know, the standard of, like, how, like, what you must look like, you know, to be acceptable as a trans woman. And mm-hmm. that can be unhealthy, and I know that, like, you know, it's hard to resist. I even, like, I do it, like, I have,
really?
Like, you know, yeah, I have, yeah. like, body image issues.
Exactly, some insecurities that when you see other YouTubers that are, you know, super femme, super fish, unclockable, like, it's sometimes, it's hard to see yourself, and you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, oh my god, why am I so fat? Why am I shaped like a quote-unquote man? I'm like repulsive, I don't like myself. Mm-hmm. So I feel like sometimes it's best to take a step back and just take your transition as it is, and don't force yourself mm-hmm. that image. Mm-hmm. Like,
Totally. In relation to like to fatness, like I think it's important to not like veer into like, you know, fat phobia. Like, you know, a lot of us have like internalized fat phobia.
Sometimes it's because of our parents.
Sometimes it's because of our parents, but it's also because of like the you know, the conditioning the beauty standards mm-hmm. that like exist you know in this society where like we're constantly you know triggered by like these like images that like make this like cohesive whole that like you associate with beauty. Exactly. But I've seen you know trans women like walk into their beauty and you know while being fat. I don't think that you know size like inherently takes away from like a trans woman's femininity. Mm-hmm. But I recognize that there can be a fine line between internalized fat phobia and how would I say, a fine line between internalized fat phobia and the desire to be cis assumed as a woman. And as far as like, if you're AMAB, you might gain weight like in your upper body, which mm-hmm. You know, males have a tendency to like gain weight like more in their upper body than in their lower mm-hmm. body. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you have like a lot of weight on you, mm-hmm. it, you know, depending on like, depending how your body reacts to hormones, you might feel that it makes you look more masculine, but it's really from one person to the next because, you know, I've seen like super feminine passing like fat trans women.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, same. Yeah. I know some. Yeah. Actually.
So like, yeah, like it's valid. And I think that it's very important to have conversations with ourselves, but also conversations with each other so as to not perpetuate like, fat phobia, in the context of like, you know, transitioning, and being happy with like our images as like trans feminine people.
Oh, thank you, mommy. Yeah, that's a great advice.
Yeah.
I'm definitely getting what you mean. It's good to have those conversations with ourselves and like realizing that we still could, you know, we still could be overweight and be attractive. Being fat doesn't make you ugly. Being fat doesn't make you anything. It's the way you see yourself and the way you want to work on yourself that brings out your confidence, because confidence is something so sexy. Like, not a lot of mm-hmm. people realize that, but so many people are scared of confidence because it attracts the insecurities out of people when they see someone, you know, walk in a room and feeling like they're $1 million. Like, you grab, like, it's something that you grasp instantly when you see someone like that. And it's very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah. Like, in order to, like, yeah, just to stand in your confidence and your femininity, like, you really have to, you know, tap into a few things, and like transitioning medically and socially mm-hmm. might just be like your way, you know, a way towards that for you. I know that, you know, it definitely has been for me. Mm-hmm. And so this is why I'm glad to see you take this route. And I'm also happy that, you know, I'm equipped to answer a lot of questions you might have, like, in relation to that.
And also, like, you've told me, but, like, now we can talk with that with the viewers, that if there's a need to stop, that, like, transitioning is not for you, you don't have to constrain yourself, right? Isn't this what you told me earlier? Like, that if you don't like the way your body is growing with the transition, that taking the pill won't make you happy, then something else might be mm-hmm. the catalyst of your problem.
Yeah. I mean, what I really meant to say is that I remember, like, when, like, I was about to start HRT, not mm-hmm. being entirely sure
yeah.
because I was afraid of, like, irreversible. I'd been told of, like, irreversible effects. And I spoke to my friend Estelle, who, Estelle is a great friend of mine.
Yeah.
I look up to her, and, we work together. I mean, on Taking What We Need, and we work
yeah.
together at Aztec, and she's a co-producer of this podcast series. I guess you've not met her yet,
no.
but she was already started with her medical transition,
yeah.
and she told me that if I wasn't happy, like, within a few months, I could stop, and you know, things would revert back to, you know, how they more or less were before. And so what I wanted to really tell you is that you can start a process, but you don't have to feel the pressure to, you know, continue to prove that, like, you know, you're sane and that, like, you're doing, you knew what you were doing. It's
mm-hmm.
okay to change your mind. It's
exactly.
okay to detransition or retransition or, like, take a break.
And also,
yeah.
While we're at it, at medical transition, it is also okay not to transition. It's okay. Well, what I mean by not to transition, I mean medically. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's okay not to medically transition and still be, you know, feminine, because I have many sisters that are still on the, you know, non-binary femme side, and, like,
uh-huh.
they decided that transitioning medically was not for them, and it's totally valid. We still call them by the pronouns that they want, she, her, and it's totally valid for them to, you know, experience their femininity in their own way and, like, live life by their own truth.
Absolutely. In the end, like, you really have to do what's good for you. I'm not gonna lie. I feel that, like, transitioning the way that I did, like, I felt in my sort of, like, previous queer iteration that, like, I was, like, constantly sort of, like, at odds with society, because society
mm-hmm.
wants you to, you know, fit into a box or live up to a standard of, like, either masculinity or femininity.
Exactly.
And so, like, you know, being, like, affirmed in my queerness in a way that, you know, was you know, from a mainstream perspective,
mm-hmm.
More, like, transgressive or, like, non-conforming,
yeah,
took a lot of energy out of me.
Really?
And I, in my experience of, like, transitioning medically and in the way that I've transitioned, you know, as a trans woman, like, I feel that, you know, I'm sort of aligned with, like, you know, how people perceive my energy. It just worked for me. You know, I don't get misgendered, but that's, like, that's very personal, and it changes from one person to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, you know, we all gonna experience, like, a fair share of, like, you know, violence coming from the world.
Yeah.
But you really have to transition in a way. You have to, like, you know, find yourself in a place where, like, you know, you're happy. If happiness means, like, not having to, like, you know, correct or, like, fight with the world, you
mm-hmm.
know, then so be it. If,
so,
like, happiness means that, like, you know, you know, to hell with people, like, you can be totally oblivious to, like, any sort of, like, transphobic violence, and, you know, you're able to, like, live out your own truth, and, like, it doesn't, you know, take any energy out of you,
yes.
then, like, so be it.
So be it. Definitely.
So you just do your thing. We're gonna take a little break and come back because we have to take breaks. This is broadcast on the radio, after all, as part of the Transistor Radio Show, the monthly Trans Talk, as you all CKUT listeners know. You're listening to episode 4 of the Black Trans Woman Audio Project on CKUT 90.3 FM. Keep it locked. Welcome back to episode 4 of the Black Trans Women Audio Project, presented to you by Aztec, Cooper, Concordia, and Transistor Radio. Once again, I'm your host, L. Barbara. It is nice to come through as a host, although very last minute and unexpected, having been a co-producer on the show with Eve Parker Finley and Estelle Davis. I can only thank them for helping, you know, put this together. Really happy to be here with my guest, Nevada Barbara. We're having a mother-daughter moment where you get to ask me all kinds of questions.
Little sit-down.
Yeah. I think it's good. It's a good way to sort of like end this monthly series that we've been having through the course of the fall. And I think you had like some more questions touching on like dating men, or as we call them in the community, trade.
I mean, like, I wanted to ask you this, you know, kind of personal question, kind of light-heart question. In your opinion, does size really matters?
Does size matter? I think that size is a bit overrated. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, I like a decent size.
What is a decent size? What is comfortable for mama?
Oh my god, you're really, you're going in there.
Girl, I'm putting you on blast here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like, it depends on, like, the mood I'm in.
Yeah,
I mean, I like big dick.
Political answer.
Political, no, I'm not trying to be. Like, I mean, depends on the mood I'm in. I'm not gonna lie, like, I like a big dick, but, but it's not the only thing, you know, when it comes to, you know, certain, like, sexual practices, like you know, dealing with like a big one is not, might not, you know, be, you know, as easy to deal with. And also, like, I find that, I've been able to, you know, I've been happy, like, in relationships, where, like, my partner did not have a big dick. And so if we talk about trade specifically, yes, like, you know, size, you know, will definitely come into consideration for me. But when it comes to relationships, like, it's not my thing.
Yeah, no. Concerning relationship, I feel like it's more to what is attached to that, you know, part of the body. It's fulfilled because, you know, I feel like men have two brains, and honestly, I'm trying to work with the one on top, not the one on the bottom. This one can, you know, if I'm having a relationship with you, I would like to know how you think. What are your views on life? Where do you want to go? Do you have some dreams? You know, all those kind of questions. And it's not what you have in your pants that's going to give me those answers. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. But, I mean, it can play into, you know.
No.
Into, answering some of those, or part of those questions. Or I should say, like, questions as to, like, what your aspirations and, like, happiness are. You know, if that's your thing, like, but yeah, no, I've definitely been mostly drawn into people whom I felt a kinship with. And so usually I kind of know whether I'm able to deal with a guy on the sort of like more long term, or like more you know, relationship level, based on his, like, the personality that he comes with.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know.
Well, why are I mean, I take it that, like, it's something that's important to you if you ask the question.
No, it's not, honestly. Personally, what I feel like is size doesn't matter, in my opinion.
Well, why do you ask the question, girl?
Because I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to let loose and have a fun little question.
Okay.
Yeah?
Put me on the spot.
That's That's fine. So if you can, if we can move on. Concerning, let's go back to concerning, you know, art. Do you have any advice, to, you know, finding gigs as someone studying?
Well, that
Like
can
getting yourself out
be,
there.
yeah, that can be difficult, and it depends on what your practice is, but I've definitely noticed a shift gradually over the course of the last 5 years where there seems to have been a lot of like awareness as it relates to like marginalized identities, so to speak. And so, a lot of people kind of come through wanting to check the oppression boxes, and that's not sort of casting any judgment on the authenticity of
Oh,
that
okay. What do you
practice,
mean by
but
the oppression boxes?
the oppression boxes to say, oh, like we have to like we
Show
have
us
to the
suffering?
book, yeah, we can like hire someone who is POC, like we should hire someone who's like on the TGLBQ spectrum, and so if you're or like a non-man, and so if you happen to like fall under all of these categories, which you are, then it can play in your favor in a way that wasn't really the case when I started like coming out on the scene. People, well,
They didn't accept like marginalized groups.
well, it wasn't like a criterion that like motivated people's
Okay, people were not hungry
interest.
to go after like, you know, the oppressed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So yeah, 'cause like the discourse was just yeah, it was just like different. Like there was no discourse on the sort of like the strain of like identity politics. So I really had to kind of like carve my own way, and I was lucky to find some allies who
Really?
believed in my talent. And
Did you have a mentor?
well, in a way, I had some mentors, but like I can't say that I had the same type of figure that you think of in the context of houses and ballrooms where like you have this kind of like mother, father, parental figure that has experienced the same sort of like intersectional oppression that you've been through. And I think that plays a lot in into it plays like it makes for like such a big part of like gay parenting,
On top of your
if you
head, do
will.
you have like the best advice that you've ever received? What would it be?
Oh wow. I don't know. I don't know if I couldn't really think of one thing, but I remember being asked that question. I think I'd like to quote her well. Martha Graham is like a legendary American dancer, and I
Really?
remember, yeah, and I remember finding one of her quotes and like be so inspired by it. And I'm just like looking it up here online, but I can't find it. What she essentially said is that
What was it?
like there's only one of you in the history of the world, and so if you don't give your chance yourself a chance to be that person, be authentic to who you truly are, not only are you depriving yourself, you're depriving the world of that expression. And so it's really important to just like to be you in the world, because it's your contribution to the world, really. And so yeah, don't delete that,
When you think about it, it's a great advice because there's only even though like you could say that human are the best imitator in nature, there's only one of you. Like if that person goes away or fades away, like it can never comes back. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's a great advice. Like, do the best that you can do, because there's only one of you.
Only one of you in the history of the world. And I think that, you know, it applies so that's perfectly beautiful. to artists. And so that's what you have to do. And like, yeah, like, you know, a lot of doors have been, you know, sort of like pushed and are still being pushed. Mm-hmm. Like over the course of the last few years. And it's not to say that you're not going to have to prove yourself, and go out there, but yeah, try to be like, you know, as out there as possible and communicate with people. I used to be a bit... networking
is important.
Well, I mean, networking, I'm not thinking of it so much as networking right now as... just like building a community, mm-hmm. like, you know, even if it's like online, like mm-hmm. the people and honor that. And so like, cause I used to, you know, like to be signed to have a record deal. And, you know, I walked away from that. And, I had like all these like, you know, pent up frustrations on, you know, how well, like, you know, that release should do, because like I have like, you know, this kind of support and like all these expectations, and you know, hardly honoring the people that were already there, like kind of being oblivious to the fact that, you know, I had built a community that I was able to communicate with, mm-hmm. and that's a lot of fun. Yeah. And this is why like the people who follow me on Instagram at @L_Barbs just plugging, yeah, like, you know, look at my story. Sometimes like I'll like, you know, do these like little quizzes, like mm-hmm. in order to help people like get to know me more. And I realize that a lot of people are in fact interested in getting to know L, the person, more. And so I really try to honor like the community that, you know, I have, built, around the internet, whether it's on IG, whether it's like on my personal, like, in my personal Facebook, mm-hmm. You know, connect, network. And so, yeah, that's fun. Like, that's what I would suggest you do, is like, you try to like form a community of, people around, you know, interests that, mm-hmm. you know, is rooted like in your art, but that yeah. can go beyond that.
Exactly. It's always better to surround yourself with people that are like-minded but not exactly like you, so they can help you in a way expand your knowledge and expand your view on your art, like on your life and also like on your art, so that it could shape, shift, and evolve into something really beautiful and something really pushed, if that makes sense. Something beyond what you already have.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Like, you know, a community is not a monolith, and like some people are going to come through with like, you know, slightly, you know, different opinions or views, like based on their experiences, mm-hmm. but you know, at the same time, I think that, you know, the world we live in is, and like social media is like, you know, set up in such a way as, to not really, to not like favor that. And so people will usually like,
do you mean
like go towards like, you know, places where, that are affirming to like who they are and what their mm-hmm. beliefs are. Mm-hmm. I don't think that like we're at a stage in you know, social life where we are forced to be in community with people that we disagree with mm-hmm. as much.
Okay. So you feel like social media is definitely putting aside different people with different point of view, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I yeah. think that, yeah, like social media.
And you
media.
Feel like sometimes being with people who have other opinions actually helps you grow as a person?
I think it can help us grow, yeah, good. To be like, and I watch a lot of, a lot of, like, I read a lot of media, like news outlets, whose, like, editorial content I disagree with. But, I find it challenging. If anything, it helps me, build up my viewpoints, or my arguments around, my ideas around certain topics more. So I think it's definitely intellectually challenging, but you also have to, not, get like far. It's important to be mindful to not go in too deep in that, because it can easily become self-harm.
Because some people out there, even though what they're saying is bullock, it's completely, how can I say that, it's wrong, they have a way of saying it that makes it sound so right that yourself, you can fall easily into that. So it's good to, as you said, it's good to stay mentally challenged, and sorry, what I mean is intellectually challenged, but it's also good to know your boundaries and sometimes, take a few step back, realize what you're doing so you're not being pushed over the edge.
Absolutely, having your own personal boundaries. So I totally agree with that. But it's hard, like, when also when like if you're curious, I know you're a very curious person, it's easy to, like, get sucked into the wrong vortex. So yeah, I guess that's Gemini energy. It's true, we're fellow gems.
Exactly, gem sisters.
Yeah, well, not sisters, it's like a mother daughter,
Gem
I mean whatever.
mother and gem daughter, if we can say that.
Yeah.
So speaking of boundaries, while you say that word, it actually, how can I say that? It woke up something in me. Do you have, some instances where you felt like, how can I say that? People around you didn't respect your boundaries as you were transitioning.
Oh, I mean, in so many, different ways. Yeah, it's happened numerous times.
Okay, the way, like, I want you to approach it, it's more as in, people getting into your business while you don't even know them.
Yeah, I mean, it can happen, and so it's important to kind of, like, speak those personal boundaries to yourself so that you're not at a loss when, like, you feel like your boundaries are crossed. Like, if you haven't, like, determined what they are, you can only be left, like, with, like, a really weird feeling when you feel that someone is, like, overstepping. And so it's really important to have, like, a conversation with yourself so that, like, you can react right away when someone, goes too far. You can say, hey, like, this is where it stops. Like, I don't want you to get in there.
I remember in the last episode, we did talk about, some people not respecting your transition and asking all those questions that they're not entitled to, and yet they feel like they're entitled to know, like what you have inside of your pants, without even knowing so much little things that are so important, like your name or are you able to eat? And like, what I want to know is, do you have any advice to those who want to be stronger and want to be able to, affirm those barriers?
I mean, that's really hard because the way I did my transition, it wasn't so much, I didn't state like what I wanted my pronouns to be. It kind of happened organically, and I wasn't so much like concerned with people like not like gendering me properly, but just like it was in relation to my own body and feeling like I wanted to experience something different. And I wanted, like, for my spirit to be seen, for, like my feminine spirit to be seen, but that didn't like really hinge on like pronouns or even a name. Like, I, change names, because it was practical at some point. It was rather embarrassing, actually, because like my body really took to the hormones, and I would be like in like at the pharmacy, and then like they'd call out my name, and like they would dead name, but like people wouldn't like associate like my physical appearance with my dead name because my body had taken to the hormones so much, and so it was a micro violence that I felt I could avoid by just changing names.
Did you personally a lot of names, or did you went from your dead name to your new name?
It was a gradual process, but at one point I was just like, fuck it, like, I gotta choose a name. And so when it came to like, transitioning socially, name wise, I kind of, thought about it for a month, and then, was having a hard time. It was like New Year's Eve, and I was like, oh, well, this could be like my New Year's resolution. And I just went, fuck it. I'll just pick a name, because I could be at it for like, 6 months still. Mm-hmm. But, the process is different for everyone. And I know that like, one of your siblings in the house baptized you, and like you were trying to like decide like where you wanted to go with it, but like give yourself time,
So like, if for example, like right now my name is Nevada, am I able to still change it in the future?
Yeah, if you want to, you could like use a different, like you can do whatever you want. Exactly. Really, it's like your name, your identity, your thing.
Your name, your identity, your thing. Like don't force yourself. Like what you're saying is that I should not force myself to like stay with one name, and like if if this is not it, then like I have to suffer through it. Is that right? Like I should really decide on what makes me happy and like move on if this is not good for me, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Oh my god, we're pushing the hour. I think that we're gonna have to stop this. But
well, on a good note.
On a good note, yeah, I'm really happy that we did this, and I think that it's important for people like in the queer community and the trans community, like to sort of like foster like these, little conversations. I think that, they can make for they make for such beautiful moments that like both parties like grow from. It's not just like the mentor, it's not just the mentee, like the mentor, like grows a lot. And like, I've like taken a lot from like becoming, a house mother and like being, looked up to, because it's allowed me to discover, qualities that I didn't know I had, and it's allowed me to like, open myself to people whom otherwise I wouldn't necessarily have taken the time to get to know more. Yeah. And
honestly, I'm so grateful that I had the pleasure to meet you as my house mother. I'm so grateful for that.
I'm grateful for you too. You're an immensely talented person, Nevada. So talented as an artist, I have to say. Also, like, very kind, very nice, and by now kind of my go-to like makeup artist. And also go-to like artist, because you did all the illustrations, like all the flyers for the Black Trans Woman Audio Project. So you guys, if you're looking to hire an illustrator or makeup artist, exactly, what's your IG handle?
My IG handle is at nevada.bl3k, and my art account is at nevzashe, nevzashe.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I want to give a shout out to all the people who took part in this wonderful adventure, all our hosts, all our guests from all the episodes. I didn't shout out Ani Barbara, who did the musical theme for the Black Trans Women Audio Project. So again, what?
So talented, that's what I said.
Yeah, so talented, like a full, just like a wide array of talent that we have, and shout out to Eve again, and especially to Estelle Davis. Thank you. This was Elle Barbara for the fourth and last episode of the Black Trans Woman Audio Project. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
You're knocking on the right door. If you're looking for something, well, refreshing, you're tuned in to the right station. You're listening to the coolest station in Montreal, 90.3 FM on your dial, the alternative station, the one that gives you a choice and a voice. CKUT, stay tuned.
It's much easier.
Just a little bit easier.